Welcome to the L5 podcast. We are back with another full episode, full feature film, I should say. And tonight we did a full feature film called Cruella, which is a live action prequel to the 101 Dalmatians series. It's available on Disney Plus, finally for free for people who already subscribed to Disney Plus. You know, they had that premiere thing going on. So now you're able to watch it if you are already a subscriber of Disney Plus.
From the very beginning, I realized I saw the world differently than everyone else. That didn't sit well with some people. But I wasn't for everyone. I guess they were always scared that I'd be a psycho.
So I will give you the synopsis of Cruella. Like I said, it's a live action prequel film following the 101 Dalmatians series. Estella is a young and clever grifter who's determined to make a name for herself in the fashion world. She soon meets a pair of thieves who appreciate her appetite for mischief, and together they build a life for themselves on the streets of London. However, when Estella befriends fashion legend Baroness Von Hellman, she embraces her wicked side to become the raucous, and revenge bent Cruella that we all know today. Now, Cruella came out in 2021. Like I said, it's available at Disney Plus. It stars Emma Stone, Emma Thompson, Joel Fry, and Paul Walter Hauser. Cruella, we watched this last night together, so I want to go ahead and give you my 17-minute review of Cruella. I basically said that the little girl who plays the young Estella, who becomes Cruella, reminds me of Chloe Moretz. What's her name? Chloe Moretz? I can't remember her last name. But she was in, like, Kick-Ass, and she was in some other films. She reminded me of her. So I was getting some really good vibes from her, the young child actress. I totally thought we were going to Hogwarts at one point with the whole car and then pulling up to the mansion. It totally looked like something out of Harry Potter. But I was liking it so far. I said that the dogs looked kind of fake. So the CGI of the dogs was a little bit fake in the beginning. I wish they had spent a little bit more time with the girl, with the young actress, the young Estella, to really see how evil she was as a child and see where she grows up to be Cruella. I felt like it was moving a little bit too fast in the beginning, because at the 17-minute mark, we are basically introduced to Emma Stone's character, which will be the Cruella that we know. So I wanted to get a little bit more with the young actress and a little bit more backstory there, but I was still enjoying it. That's what I was gonna say, is that for y'all tuning in, we're probably going to spoil this film.
Warning.
Maybe not in the first 17, about with our 17-minute review, but later on we will. So just be aware of that. And I was giving this movie a 3 stars in the first 17 minutes. I'm glad that I saw it so far, and I'm willing to continue. So, as our resident person who always likes to go second, I will toss this off to Dana. And
all right.
Want to give us your 17-minute review of Cruella?
Okay. So I actually think my 17-minute review is a little bit different from yours. So what I wrote is it's fast-paced and entertaining. I love the backstory, and it was just enough to help me understand why she's the way she is. Decent character development with a good backstory. So we always talk about, and I pick on us, because as you know, we do the 17-minute review and then we follow up with the full review. But in that 17 minutes, a lot of times we're wanting backstory, we're wanting character development. And sometimes, obviously, 17 minutes isn't long enough to give us what we're looking for. I actually felt like in this case, not only did it give me what I was looking for, but it kept me hooked. I was entertained by it. I wanted to know more about what she was doing and everything. And I felt like, for me, it gave me enough to be really interested and wanting to see the rest of the movie. So believe it or not, at 17 minutes, I gave it 5 stars.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So at this point, that's how I felt. And so I'm going to pass it on over to Brian.
So the thanks. So here's my 17. So this is Cruella's origin story, obviously. And so we start literally at her birth. And here is a spoiler. Spoiler alert. In the first opening lines, she's narrating the story from the grave. And I hate that. Here's the story how I died. But that's just a little bit of a point, and we'll come back to that later. But anyway, the saving grace is that this first chapter, that the kid actor, again, I think she's good enough. She's good enough to carry this character. And the story does move right along. We're barely in the beginning of the adult life with Horace and the other guy and their life of crimes. That's 17 minutes. So it does seem kind of fast that we just jump right in there. But Dana, you're right. They do go into so much detail is packed in to every little bit and that made her who she was. So we'll get into that, some of that too. But so far I gave it a 4. I was at a 4. So it seemed like a decent enough family or a young teen movie, but I don't know that it's really for littler kids because there's so much, you know, stealing and skipping school and stuff and other things, right? So Stacy, what do you think?
Well, I was here for the movie. So the first 17 minutes, I like it when Disney does that whole, we're gonna humanize the villain. So when we first see in those first 17 minutes, we see that young Estella and we kind of see where she may be in a little bit of that evilness or that mean, I'm going to say evilness because she's a child, but that meanness, because in that one part when she's doing the whole making the doll's clothing and she's like, that's ugly, and ripped it. And it was just, and I wouldn't say that's evil, that was just meanness, but her mother telling her, you know, your name is Estella, not Cruella. And I was like, yay. But you got that, you can see where she might be headed, especially, you know, we've all seen the movie. So we kind of know where she's going to be heading in there. But when we saw that and then actually seeing how the young Anita, so the Anita Darling, her best friend or her friend at the time, because what little we saw is like, how are you best friends? Y'all barely talked. It seemed like y'all weren't. I would like to have gone seen a little bit more interaction between the two of them to make it seem like they were actually friends versus they were just happen to be, you know, in the same school together and had a few incidents to see. Yeah, a few bullies that they had to battle together, kind of a thing. But seeing they actually knew each other, because when I saw the movies back in the day, it's like, how in the heck did she get friends with this little? You know, I was just, but actually seeing that from that origin story, kind of see where they became friends, that kind of thing. So it was really fast-paced, but it was enough to kind of get you really to kind of feel for, because that's what I wanted to see. Because if you've seen, Maleficent? And you saw how that, you know, they did it with that, about how they made an evil character into somebody you can actually root for. And I think they were doing in that first 17 minutes, they were doing that with her. I mean, she was the kid from the, you know, wrong side of tracks, it seems. And she had her own spark and she stood up for herself. And I liked every time she had to go to the principal's office or headmaster's office, she was in this new outfit. And I just love that. I mean, she was in some sort of new outfit that she made and whatever. And I really think the first 17 minutes, you really started to root for or actually kind of feel something for her and actually see her beyond what she will eventually be in 101 Dalmatians. And so for that first 17 minutes, I really, I give it a 4 for the first 17 minutes. And Jeremy.
All right. Right. So I'll give it a 2+2, which equals a 4. See, gotcha. Had you on your toes there. Had you on your toes there, audience. This gave me Devil Wears Prada mixed with a little Oceans, mixed with a little Disney, as you all alluded to. So I liked it. It was cool, but that was the first kind of note I made. All those, definitely Devil Wears Prada within the first 17 minutes, which is cool because I'm a fan of that movie. I put the art and design was pretty nice. Like, I would have loved to see this in the theaters. I know we mentioned that a lot, like the production of the movies pretty nice on our TVs, but how would this look in the theaters? And I think this is one of those that I would really like to see expounded. I want to see pixels. I want to see like it look a lot prettier than it even looked on the TV. So I put the art and design was well. I put London. It really felt like, you know, 1960s, 1970s London. And I miss London. It's one of my favorite places to go. But I like the fact that the scenery was kind of indicative of what I would think London would look like back in the day. So that was pretty cool. I think they did sometimes movies mess that up. Like, they put you in a scene and, you know, they kind of drop you. And then, like Brian said, you went with the death, you went with the early, but at least I think they went with a good approach of kind of setting the scene and not, like you all said, going too fast. But it was pretty quick, but I was okay with that. Some people might not like how quick it went, but again, I was okay with it. I already put Emma Thompson versus Emma Stone. And the reason I put that is I was like, these two will be battling for who's going to take the best, who's going to, you know, win it out. Obviously, Emma Stone at the beginning got much of the spotlight, but for some odd reason, I was like, I think Emma Thompson will end up being the person I love more in the film. But that's okay. That's the first 17. I don't really care about who is who. So I gave it a 4, and it gave me typical Disney vibes, but with a little bit of a twist. Similar, I think it was Brian or someone said, like, the stuff that was happening, maybe not PG, might be PG-13. And so, again, I had to look up the rating of the film because I was like, whoa, this is a lot of dark that typically is a little bit, you know, they turned the knob a little bit up on it. But that's fine. But I was not expecting it to go that dark this early. So typical Disney. So yeah, 4. And I'll pass it back to you, Corey.
Thank you. All y'all just put me to shame. Well, I feel shame. I feel shamed.
I'm giving you one of mine. So now we're all 4s.
Well, okay, we'll put all 4s. Come on. I enjoyed it. Okay, so let's get into the rest of the film after the 17 minutes and finish discussing the rest of this movie. I will piggyback on what Jeremy said. A comment Jeremy said is that it does feel a lot like Devil Wears Prada with Meryl Streep and Anne Hathaway. Dana and I were saying that we were watching it several times, that the whole fashion part of this story wasn't, you know, told, of course, in 101 Dalmatians, the animated cartoon, 1961. I don't know if it was told in the live action movie with
with Glenn Close.
Yeah, with Glenn Close. I don't know if it was told in that, if they alluded to the whole fashion thing or anything like that. So that kind of caught me off guard, but I liked it. I really liked the chemistry between Emma Stone and Emma Thompson. Emma Thompson, man, she was cutthroat. Like, she was one of these women who was like, you know, I want what I want, and you're not going to tell me what you can do, and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, look, she had the little blade in her hand. I'm like,
spoilers here. What? You killed my mom. You killed my mom. Oh, which one was she?
Which one? Yeah, exactly.
Man, that and with her blade, I was just like, this one will cut you. And I mean, literally, she will cut you. So I was really enjoying the acting and the chemistry between the two of them. I really liked the side characters, Cruella's henchmen, I guess you want to call them. Paul Walter Hauser, I really, really, really love him. He is from I, Tonya and Richard Jewell, which if you haven't seen Richard Jewell, he really, really, really is great at Richard Jewell. He had a he had a really good accent. I felt like the accent that he had and the accents that some of the other characters had were really good. And I told Dana this, and so I like the movie. Let me just say that from right off the bat. I like the movie. It went up a little bit by a 0.5. So I actually gave it 3.5 stars. I may actually lean over and actually give it 4 stars because I enjoyed it. I don't think that I will go back and watch it again. But I told Dana while we were watching the movie is that, first of all, it's too long. It's 2 hours and 16 minutes. It is too long. But the funniest parts and the best parts for me involved the dogs. So, like, when they dressed the dog up as the rat, like, I died laughing with the rat dog. And with the, you know, he was called Wink because he only had one eye. And I'm just like, I'm dying laughing. And there's a scene, spoiler alert, because we're spoiling this whole movie. There's a scene where Paul Hauser is, I think he was trapped or something like that, and Wink is there. And he saves him. And he says something like, I don't care how dirty your mouth is or something, or how dirty you are, I'm going to give you a big old kiss on the lips. I just thought about Pop-Tart and people who have their own dogs. And, you know, we love them to death and, you know, blah, blah. And I just thought the dogs were really, really cute. And all those scenes that involved the dogs just had me dying laughing. And, so I just liked a lot of that stuff. The only thing that I would take away is just the fact that it's too long. I felt like her turning from Estella to Cruella happened a little too fast. It was like she knocked herself on the head and then she woke up the next morning and she's just this evil person, you know? I don't know, maybe it was just me, but it didn't really work that well. But overall, I thought the story was really well told, and we got some backstory with the whole fashion thing. And it leaned heavily on that part, but I mean, it was fine. I liked it. It was fine. I don't know. Anybody else want to jump in and say what they thought?
I'll jump in because yeah. I like to go second. Anyway, so for me, it's funny because since we're talking about movies, there was one point I was like, is this going to be like Mannequin? But one thing I do want to point out, I don't know the actual story of 101 Dalmatians. So I haven't seen the movies. I'm aware of the character, but I don't actually know the story. Because at one point I was like, well, she seems to like dogs. So what's the issue with the 101 Dalmatians? So I don't really know that story. So that may have something to do with how I felt about this movie. So to me, this was like, brand new, a story I didn't really know, other than I know this character somehow becomes a bad character, right? So this is totally eye-opening to me. And so I loved every minute of it. I really enjoyed the fashion side of it to when she was older. I loved, because at first when they got her the job at the fashion house, I was like, oh, this is gonna be some bull, right? Nope, they show her cleaning floors. I was like, okay.
And toilets.
That makes sense. I can totally see that actually happening. So I was like, I was really with it and I enjoyed it. One thing I did like about these characters is I hate when people make characters one-dimensional. And I felt like in this case, they did not do that with this. So with the Baroness, we were supposed to not like her. But what I also saw in her, and we see this type of character a lot, is a woman who's in a man's world and has to be cutthroat because that's what men do. And then that's what she has to do to get ahead. And I don't mean killing folks, but you know what I'm saying? Like that attitude that she has about, you know, whatever, it's because that's what she has to do to get ahead in that world. So we demonize that because it does suck and it does look bad. But at the same time, I'm willing to bet in that world, and unfortunately in ours too, a lot of those people end up being successful in terms of business wise. So I kind of saw a little bit of different depth there to her. And I didn't just outright not like her at all. Just same way with Devil Wears Prada. And I think that's, again, that resonated in that same characters too. She's that way because she has to be if she is trying to make it. So I like that. And another reason I'm not sure, to Jeremy and Brian's point, that this was really for children, because I think some of the messages in here were definitely a little bit more adult, which is fine. But I didn't think this was definitely a kid's movie. And then the same thing with Cruella, you know, she's, again, when growing up, like Stacey said, I felt for her, right? Like all these people were bullying her and pushing her around and all this stuff. So I felt for her. And initially I'm liking her as a character, you know, I'm like not understanding, you know, why people don't necessarily like her. She's struggling. She's out here. She seems like, you know, real life. And like Corey said, she did kind of flip that switch really fast. But when she flipped it, I actually no longer liked her at all. I mean, she really became an ugly person to me. Mm-hmm. And really what it was is not what she was doing. It was how she was treating the people who had been with her from day one. That's what bothered me. Not her, you know, because she was a thief the whole time. I still liked her, you know, whatever. But when she started mistreating the people who had been there for her and was so ugly to them, I really did not like her anymore. You know, so I wasn't even on her side when she was trying to get back at the Baroness. So I thought, again, that's interesting because with both of those characters, I had love-hate relationship with them at different points in the movie. So that I really liked. Again, I think just like Jeremy was talking about, it was beautiful to watch, even just on my TV. So I imagine it would have been amazing in the theater. I loved, again, y'all know I'm a fashion person. So I love the elements of fashion. I loved, you know, seeing all that stuff. Obviously, some of it may have been slightly predictable at times, but even the way they handle it. So when they put the dresses, for example, in the safe, we all knew something was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I never thought, you know, I thought those little things she was sewing, they were going to blow up. It didn't occur to me that, hey, these are going to be bugs and they're going to be moths that eat all the stuff up in there. So I like some of the things that I saw. I felt that they were new. So I really, really enjoyed this movie and I'm going to keep it at a 5. This is something that I would add to Corey's collection and I would actually watch again. I really, really enjoyed this. I know y'all are like, Dana. Yeah, but I actually really enjoyed it. And I honestly going into it didn't expect to, but I did. I like the characters. Now I'm interested in 101 Dalmatians, but y'all have to tell me if based on this movie, if it only gets better from here, or if you think I'll be disappointed if I watch the live action 101.
I would recommend watching the original animated film first.
Okay.
And before watching the Glenn Close live action version, because it's a live action version of the animated film. So, you know, getting the classic, I think, would probably be a good order to see that in.
Okay.
But there's so many references in this, it was really nice. So after you see that animated classic, then when you come back and watch this film, Cruella, you'll pick up on a lot more of the things like the song that the guy on the piano was playing.
Corey mentioned that. Yeah.
And those kinds of things. And those are like, oh my God, that's really sweet. But I can totally see why you enjoyed this so much because coming from the fashion world or interest or being an artist and creative person, they really focused on the design element an awful lot. There's so many shots of the illustrations and what goes into creating a look or whatever and making adjustments, even if you're flicking a knife at somebody and taking off a piece of fabric and it's kind of violent, but at least in the film. But I thought that was really nice. And then the whole punk sort of thing, that whole, you know, 60s mod punk vibe in the music, all of that. I just ate that up. That was really awesome. So they did this great montage when Cruella was making a name for herself and making all of these appearances that were just, I just think, really well done, but just really fast forwarded all of those events quite a bit. So my final score, I went up another half. I my final score is a 4.5. I really enjoyed it.
I do think, speaking of the music that Brian alluded to, I do think sometimes in the film they added music to evoke the reaction. Like, let's add a soundtrack. Let's, in which sometimes it was great, but sometimes it was too much. I was like, I don't need y'all to add a music clip. Old school Premiere Pro, drop it in there, then keep track. You don't need to do that. Keep let the scene and the smoothness of the act flow. You don't need a music track to get that. You don't need to do that. So I noticed that, I would say at least over five times. So it was definitely noticeable. It wasn't like once or twice. It happened around five times for me, and that was a little too much. Like Corey said, it was too long. When I saw the, y'all know how Disney does, when you first look at the intro screen, I saw 212. I said, Lord, let me repop my popcorn. Let me get my wine. Let me get my like drink. I was like, Lord, have mercy. So,
okay, Olivia Pope. I
mean, Daniel, let me tell you, girl, you know, your boy's attention span is only about an hour and a half. So, so I was like, oh, Lord, pray to the L5 God. So that, like Corey just said, I want to reiterate exactly what he said. It was just too long. It was good. It was good content. And I like, there were twists, like Dana said, some were predictable. There were a lot of predictable things, which is okay. It's a Disney film. And I like the heist. I like that the each of the characters, you know, you have the dogs participating in the heist, picking up wallets, picking up change. You had the people kind of bumping into people. And so, yeah, that was cool. I like that, too. But yeah, it was a pretty solid four. It didn't really go to a five because of what I just said. But would I watch it again? I probably would watch to get certain things I might have missed. But it wasn't bad at all. One of the best Disney films I've seen in a while. There have been some good ones that I think we've seen, but this one will probably be in our top ones just based on what everyone is saying. And then it's not bad at all. I think they did it well. I haven't seen the original 101 Dalmatians in a while. So I want to go back and see that to do a little compare. Like, how's this one? Because I haven't seen, I'm going to be honest, y'all, be very transparent. I haven't seen the old one in a long time. But I do remember it. I do remember the music. I do obviously remember the characters. But I do want to go back and see it. So it's probably be one of those where I just watch it again. And then I just recently saw this, so.
And I guess that leaves it up to me is the who's gonna finish it up. I really enjoyed it. And this is my actual second time seeing it, so I did see it earlier. And because I've also seen 101 Dalmatians, and I know what she wants to do in 101 Dalmatians, I was surprised at a few things, especially when she was thrown into that dumpster and she found a little puppy dog. And then the next scene, I thought he was gonna be a muff, but he never became a muff. I mean, there are certain things that I thought would happen, but to see her evolution or her change from Estella to Cruella, I have to agree with Dana. I mean, I was rooting for her up until when she became Cruella, and when her, you know, her friends, was it Jasper and what was the other, Horace?
Horace. Yeah.
Horace. And she's like, why are you still talking like that? You know, that first warning. And at first, like, okay, maybe she's just still kind of in character, but she never breaks that. And she treats them, like Dana said, treats them horribly. And they're the ones who have been with you since they found you on the found. I mean, it's just really, they've been there for you all that time. And just rescuing that one time, especially out of jail was one thing, but the way you treat them after that, and then seeing, knowing that I know from 101 Dalmatians, how you will continue to treat them, it doesn't get better for them. But part of me thinks, and this is just me, because I've watched 101 Dalmatians and I've seen this one now, and her, spoiler alert, her mother goes to jail, her real mother goes to jail, makes me think, I don't know, I was thinking, did 101 Dalmatians actually tell it from the point of view of her mother who has something against her? And that's just made me think that, just because when she talked about she killed my dogs, and she, or, you know, made a coat for my dogs, and she never did. And I just made me think, well, maybe later on they'll do the 101 Dalmatians and it's actually from her mother's point of view and demonizing her. But that was just me thinking. Because, I mean, to me, I was like, yes, she buried Estella, her good side, but hopefully she didn't really do it a whole way, because that last scene when she gives Anita and Roger, she gives them the dogs.
Yeah.
Perdita and Pongo, which will make 101 Dalmatians. So if you're going to give them the dogs, did you give them because you want a coat at some point? That seemed like a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And that made me think that she wasn't all the way evil.
Right.
It feels like something, and I was going to ask y'all if you feel like, Stacey, something's missing between this movie and 101 Dalmatians.
That's what I was thinking. It can't be. I mean, the dogs are puppies, and they don't, it's not like it's going to be 10 years from now.
Yep.
You know, right. For those dogs to grow up, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be, it's going to be like a few years. And that's why it makes me think that if they do another one, will it come from her point of view or her mother's? Because the mother was like, she was just going to jail. One, like she was, you know, the Baroness wasn't dead. So maybe the whole next thing will be from her point of view, demonizing Cruella because she took everything from her. But, you know, I may have taken, you know, thought of it a little bit too deeply on that.
No.
But that's what I was thinking, because I just couldn't see her. Yes, I could see her being evil, but that last part is what made me think that something was going on. That it can't, how can you go from that to giving them those dogs to I'm going to make a coat of them? But, and just when I was a kid and I watched 101 Dalmatians and she's making that, wanted to make a coat from the dog, I thought that would be just the coolest thing to have. That was horrible, but I really thought.
You know what? That was thought they were like sheep, and she just had to shear
them. Purple fur is so soft. That would have been a
mistake. My mom had a fake fur, like trench coat, and it was white with black spots. I always thought of it as a Dalmatian coat.
I see why.
You know, you go to Burlington Coat Factory, the fur line was not
real. Right.
Not, you know it was. So,
that fur gonna be falling off.
I really enjoyed the whole the montage when she did all her you know, the trash dress, you know, just dumped down and the way.
Oh, I love that.
That was cool.
I mean, I really did enjoy the movie and the visual. Just the visual of the fashion in general. And she met so many different characters that were just on the fringe society and befriended them. So it was kind of hard from her to go from, you know, she, you know, Art, who met Artie, you know, that, and those other people she would meet, and then go from there to straight up, I'm evil. I don't know, but part of me is thinking it's a nature versus nurture thing as well. Because like, if you look, meet the Baroness, it's like, yeah, I can kind of, if you go by nature, you are going to be awful. But if you go by nurture, you know, which one is going to win out? And up to a point, you know, you were seeing it, you know, initially nurture was winning out on it, but until when she found out about the, who not a real mother, but the necklace and what the Baroness is saying about her mother to protect, or who she thought was her mother, to protect her. But I really did like the whole nature versus nurture, and the whole, she got herself to that point by some of it's hard work and some of it was like a little bit sketchy, but she got herself to that point and she never gave up on herself at all. So I know, I think I read something about talking about being a feminist thing or whatever, and it's like, I can kind of see that in a way, because she did stand up for herself when she was a child. Now, later on, and the Baroness too, she was evil in the sense that she killed a person and said, hey, get rid of this child after his born, you know. But other than that, there's certain parts of it that I really like. When those two guys came to her office, that she actually stood up for what she is and told them exactly how it's going to be. So overall, I mean, I really enjoyed it. And I do like the fact that in these remakes or origin stories of it, that they are showing a different side to the villain who were initially villains. I think they're kind of doing that with some of these Descendants or whatever, showing the children of them, of the, I've never really watched it. I've just kind of seen parts of it, but I do like the fact that they are making it seem, show that these, that you're not just not necessarily born evil in a way, but sometimes things make you, or how you just evolve and what may happen just to make you from, you know, a good, you know, high-spirited girl who stands up for herself into, you know, I'm going to kill puppies. I don't, you know, you see that change. And I do really think that it was, I really enjoyed it. And my final thing will probably be 4.5 stars for this.
Yay.
Look at all y'all. Okay, I'm going to change mine to a 4.
Not 4.
Stand your ground, brother.
I mean, I probably would change it to a 4, but I agree with everything that what everybody was saying, but I really agree with what you're saying, Stacey, and you're right. I was thinking at the end that there is no direct connection from what we see here to what she does in 101 Dalmatians. There is something missing, which I guess they're leaving open for a sequel, and it would be interesting to see what angle they do go at. You know, there were several times, like Brian was saying, it's good for Dana to watch the original and then catch some of the references that you see in this movie, because there were moments where I was going, oh, here's the switch, or here's what's going to happen here. You know, they're showing the scene with the car. There's the scene with her driving off with Horace and them with the car. I was waiting for the top of it. This is no spoiler, okay? This doesn't really ruin 101 Dalmatians, but there's a classic shot of where the top of the car gets ripped off. Her eyes are bloodshot red and her hair is blowing in the wind. She looks so freaking evil. I was waiting for that to happen in this movie. But it's referenced a little bit, but it doesn't really go there. You know what I mean? And so there's all these other little things in this movie that they reference that does bring it back to that, but it doesn't, there's still that gap there. There's still really that gap there. But you know, and Stacey was saying that she likes that they're showing this other side to these evil characters. You look at Maleficent, you look at the Joker. I love that they did that with both of those movies. They did a really good job with this one as well, of where they're showing another side of how they're not born that way. You know, they're something that happens that triggers in their life that switches them to that evil side. So I totally agree with all those things. Is there anything else anybody wanted to add to?
I just wanted to say on my behalf, yeah, while I may not have read 101 Dalmatians, I did read Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And that happens to be one of my favorite books.
What does that have to do with this?
Because I think it's a Disney movie or book or Golden Book or something. I don't remember, but it kind of reminds me of that it would fall into the same category.
It is a Disney movie. You're right.
So that's all. Because you and I were talking, and I was like, did you ever read or watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? You know, whatever. I don't know.
I love that movie.
That's just a moment from my youth. I just remember.
That child hunter always scared the crap out of me.
Did anybody also get Hunger Game vibes from this movie when she lit the dress on fire?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was really cool. I really liked that movie. And Dana was mentioning that she got Harley Quinn vibes from this movie, too.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention there were a lot of Harley Quinn vibes from this movie. Yeah. And I don't like Harley Quinn, so sometimes I was like, I felt like there were a lot of those.
Yeah.
Like the building with the name, I think you mentioned Corey when she wrote the name on the building. The makeup on her face. It was like future or whatever. Like a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Even the way she was acting when she first switched over to Cruella, I think some of her evilness kind of looked like Harley Quinn. Some of her facial expressions that she was making kind of reminded me of Harley Quinn.
And that's why I liked Emma Thompson better, because I felt like hers was more natural.
Yeah.
Well, but I will say this with with the whole Harley Quinn thing. She had the look, but she wasn't as dumbass. So right. I think that's right. Why I was okay with that. Sure. It was, yeah, that's why I don't like Harley Quinn. She's just stupid. But I feel like.
And that last movie, Dana, was whack.
Oh, because it was. Didn't we review that? That one was horrible.
We did. We did.
Okay. So if there's nothing else anybody has to say about Cruella, we will bid you guys adieu. And we will see you guys next time.